Clinton Fernandez, an academic at the Australian Defence Force Academy in Canberra. And to have your say on his case, on FOI or anything else you've heard on the National Interest today, you can contact us directly. Log on to the website at abc.net.au/rn/national interest and click on the Add Your Comment tag on the relevant story. Or leave a message on our feedback line by calling 1300 936 222. That's 1300 936 222. On last week's program, Peter Mayres examined the three Ps: productivity, population and participation. And he enlisted some high-profile names for his panel: the Minister for Families, Jenny Macklin, Shadow Finance Minister, Andrew Robb, and ACTU President, Jed Carney. Some of the correspondents to the program complained not about what was on the agenda, but what was left off. Warwick from Victoria was concerned that the emphasis on getting disabled and long-term unemployed people back to work missed an important point.
There's a lot of talk about standard of living, but I haven't heard anybody talk yet about the quality of life. That's a completely different issue. So how about a bit more intelligent thought on this?
Quality of life is something that listener Fiona was also keen to highlight.
Recent talk from both major parties about increasing productivity amongst disability support pensioners has me worried that it's the thin edge of the wedge. After several years of near-constant pain and increasing debilitation due to a chronic condition, I reluctantly applied for the Disability Services Pension late last year. Anyone who thinks the DSP is easy to get is sorely mistaken. I spent hours filling out complex forms, providing the relevant financial and medical evidence, and attending appointments with Centrelink and their external assessors. It was a frustrating, exhaustive, and exhausting process, and not for the faint-hearted. All the while, I was trying to keep up what little work I was physically able to do as a self-employed person, so that I could maintain my professional skills and keep a shred of self-esteem. What more would the major political parties have me do?
In other words, it's not just about getting those out of work into it. It's also about the plight of those who are struggling to stay in the workforce. Cathy Leach from Australians for Disability and Diversity Employment was pleased by the compassion and empathy expressed by Andrew Robb for those who are unemployed, underemployed and on a disability support pension. And she hopes that some of his outlook will rub off on opposition leader Tony Abbott.
Abbott did the coalition a disservice by his bludgeoning negative sound grabs that he recently let loose across Australia's airwaves when he talked about proposed welfare reforms, including reforms to disability welfare payments. Most people with disabilities are keen to work, but the personal experience of our members is that employers are not willing to offer employment opportunities to people with a disability. Under the Coalition and Labor governments, employees with a disability in the Australian public service has reduced over the last 10 years from 6.4% to less than 3%. If governments can't lead from the front in employing people with a disability, how can the rest of the employers be expected to make a difference? Instead of attacking people with disabilities themselves, politicians from all sides of politics should be leading by example. What about starting by every Member of Parliament looking at their own staff? How many of them have a disability?
In fact, most correspondence was made up of anecdotal stories of people with disabilities struggling to find employment. Here's Joyce.
I'd like to tell you about a 46-year-old with a BA who's never had a job. An employer would find him unemployable. And I have a neighbour of about 50 with a handicapped child who doesn't work, though she helps those around her. For instance, she drives the oldies she knows to their GP where necessary and shops for food. She also babysits when an unwell child of a friend or neighbour with a job cannot take time off work. This neighbour is employable, yet her friends, neighbours and child would miss her a lot.
And here's what John had to say.
While there may be quite a number of people on the disability support pension who don't have many skills, the people I know who have had to give up their work for health reasons are over 50 and are very highly skilled. They don't want the stress of the corporate grind of regular employment, and their technical specialisation means that they don't have the passion or want the stress of running their own businesses. They contribute to the community in terms of volunteer work and as carers, Although it doesn't generate an income for them, it's still a major financial contribution to the community as a whole.
But listener Mitch from Darwin had a very different take on the type of changes that Australia needs.
On welfare reform, we need to stop politician welfare for life after only two terms in Parliament. Tony Abbott and Macklin are now set for life at taxpayer expense. They're hypocrites. Thank you.
If you'd like to add your comment to the debate, you can do it at our website at abc.net.au/rn/national interest or on our feedback line 1300 936 222. That's 1300 936 222. The National Interest is produced by James Paniki and technical production this week by John Jacobs. I'm Damien Carrick, and on ABC Radio National, it's almost time for the news.